This is Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America after the latest news on VOA Music Mix.
Ukraine vows to press on with its military offensive in the pro-Russian east, and thousands fear dead in a massive Afghanistan landslide. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington. Ukraine says it will continue its military offensive against pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine as the Kremlin reports thousands of calls for help coming from the region's Russian-speaking citizens. Ukraine's interior minister said troops captured a television tower and government buildings from rebels in Kramatorsk, a town near the pro-Russian stronghold of Slovyansk. The head of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council said an anti-terrorism operation will continue today in towns beyond Slovyansk and Kramatorsk. Meanwhile, from Moscow, a Kremlin spokesman said Russian President Vladimir Putin has not yet decided how to respond to the offensive or the deaths of at least 42 mostly pro-Russian people who died fighting Friday in the port city of Odessa. Officials in northern Afghanistan have given up hope of finding more survivors of a massive landslide that buried hundreds of villagers under tons of rock and mud. They've called off their search. On Saturday, authorities in the remote Badakhshan province village recovered only two more bodies. Rescuers today are turning their focus to providing food, shelter, and medical aid to around 4,000 people displaced by Friday's disaster. As Sharon Bain reports from Islamabad, the estimates of the death toll are wide-ranging from 250 to 2,000, with more landslides expected.
Badakhshan borders Tajikistan, China, and Pakistan in the far north of Afghanistan. Because of the remoteness of the location and the narrowness of the roads, delivering heavy rescue equipment is difficult, officials said. U.S. President Barack Obama expressed his support to Afghanistan after hearing reports of the devastation.
Just as the United States has stood with the people of Afghanistan through a difficult decade, we stand ready to help our Afghan partners as they respond to this disaster.
Survivors and the homeless are in desperate need of water, medical help, food, and emergency shelter, he added. The Afghan Red Crescent Society and various other non-governmental organizations are rushing aid to the area. Sharon Bain, VOA News, Islamabad.
The United States is prepared to help fund aid for stability and democracy-building efforts in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but the U.S. wants assurances from President Joseph Kabila that he'll step down at the end of his current term in office. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry held a private meeting with Mr. Kabila today in Kinshasa, urging the president to follow the Constitution in the upcoming elections, which would prohibit the president from running for a third consecutive term in 2016. It's not immediately clear if the president agreed. Earlier, in a visit to Addis Ababa, Mr. Kerry pressed South Sudan's President Salva Kiir and rebel chief Riek Machar to engage in direct talks, in a move that could end months of deadly violence.
If both sides do not take bold steps to end the violence, they risk plunging South Sudan into greater desperation and even famine. And that famine could be right around the corner if we don't turn the corner ourselves in the next days. They will completely destroy what they claim they are fighting for if we do not make a difference now.
Mr. Kerry met with Mr. Kiir in South Sudan on Friday and later spoke by phone to Machar. In Kinshasa, he has commended the Kabila government's work to combat ethnic militias in eastern provinces and said the Obama administration will continue to help improve the standards of living there. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang has left Beijing on a four-nation tour of Africa, saying labor disputes and other problems with Chinese investments in Africa are signs of what he called growing pains. In a statement released before today's departure, Li urged Chinese companies in Africa to abide by local laws and regulations and take responsibility to protect the interests of local communities and the environment. He also called on relevant African countries to strengthen market regulation and protect the lawful rights and interests of Chinese companies and the safety of their employees. A pre-race favorite, California Chrome, burst ahead of the pack Saturday to win easily the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby. The victory at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, made California Chrome's trainer, 77-year-old Art Sherman, the oldest man to train a race winner. California Chrome was a 5-2 morning favorite at the 140th running of the race. It was the horse's fifth victory in a row. Commanding Curve came in second, followed by Danza third and Wicked Strong in fourth, none of which pay off as well. I'm Marty Johnson, VOA News in Washington.
Welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA Music Mix. This is Russ Davis, your host. On this edition of the program, we'll celebrate bass players, bass playing, and the new release, About Now, from one of the finest bassists around today, bassist, composer, and band leader Mark Egan. Yes, bassist Mark Egan burst upon the scene in the mid-1970s as a member of the original Pat Metheny group. And he's had so many successes since then with his own solo projects, sideman projects, and you'll hear about much of that in a conversation I enjoyed with him right in the center of Manhattan in New York City at Grand Central Station. That's where we met for our conversation. I hope you'll enjoy it, and I know you'll enjoy music from his latest release, About Now. But as I said, we're going to celebrate bassists and bass playing quite a bit on this edition of Jazz America, and one of the greatest of all time celebrates his 77th birthday this month. On the 4th of May in 1937, the great Ron Carter, one of the greatest bassists and composers in jazz history, was born in Ferndale, Michigan, in the Detroit area. He ended up moving to New York City to go to the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, upstate New York, before attending the Manhattan School of Music in New York City. And there, his star rose dramatically as he started playing with some of the most famous players around. Let's enjoy some of Ron Carter's work that is indicative of his love of New York City. It's called New York Slick, recorded in 1966. It features an all-star cast, including Art Farmer on flugelhorn, J.J. Johnson, the legendary trombonist, Hubert Laws on flute, Kenny Barron on piano, and Billy Cobham on drums. Here's the title cut from New York Slick, Ron Carter, as we celebrate bassists and great bass playing on this edition of VOA's Jazz America. We'll be right back. The Jimmy McHugh classic, I Just Found Out About Love. That's the late, great pianist and vocalist Shirley Horn, born on the 1st of May in 1934. She would have been 80 years old if she were around today. She died at the age of 71 in 2005, the lady from Washington, D.C. That's Shirley Horn. And we celebrate her and remember her fondly with that beautiful song from her album, You Won't Forget Me. That was certainly an appropriate title. We will not forget the great Shirley Horn. Well, a gentleman who's been making a name for himself as a bassist, composer, and band leader, as well as first call sideman for many projects, Mark Egan, releases a brand new album simply titled About Now. And we're about to hear some of it after we spend some time with him inside Grand Central Station in the center of New York City. So you'll hear the ambience of people all around us as we talk.
just felt like the hustle and bustle of New York was an appropriate place to speak to a gentleman who spent quite a bit of time there. Mark Egan joins us on this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
Well, it's been a long time getting together with my old friend Mark Egan, and it's always a great time to celebrate when someone has a really wonderful new recording, a new project just out, and it's called About Now. Mark, great to see you, and congratulations on a beautiful new work.
Thanks, Russ. Great to see you again, too. We go way back, and it's really a great pleasure to be with you again.
Keep that down, okay? No, we go way back. We sure do, and I'm proud of that, you know. We've both been hanging in there doing our thing, and if people hear voices in the background, it's the voices of people in a city that has meant a lot to both of us, New York City. I asked Mark to come in and meet me in Grand Central Station. So especially for our folks around the world who've never been to New York or maybe never to the USA, Grand Central Station is a pretty special place, and so is New York City. Just some quick thoughts about what the city has meant to you over the years.
Oh, well, it's great. As an aside, I took the train here to meet you, Russ, today, and it's perfect because it's a great meeting point. But, you know, New York has been the mecca for me of music. You know, when I was growing, going to the University of Miami studying music, everyone talked about, oh, New York, you have to go to New York. That's where all it's sort of the hub of it all as far as the arts and everything. And it really is that way, and it's, you know, it's the final frontier. It's just you can see the best of everything and the worst of everything in New York. And you know, I came here in 1976, and I was just wanted to play creative music, and that was the right place to be for me.
You know, it's funny though that according to what I remember about you, you made contacts outside of New York that led to major things happening in your life. I mean, for example, in Miami. That's where you met Pat Metheny. That's where you met Jaco Pastorius, right? And that's where you got together with some of the first members of the first bands you ever worked in.
Yes. As I said, I studied music at the University of Miami, and it turned out to be a really great experience because it was a real melting pot of people from, as you said, Jaco, Ira Sullivan, the great multi-instrumentalist. Some of my schoolmates there were Pat Metheny, Danny Gottlieb, Clifford Carter, Hiram Bullock. So many great people came. Bruce Hornsby was at the university, not when I was there, but several people have come from there. And, you know, this was, you have to remember the timing. It was 1969. A lot was going on in the music world. Miles Davis just recorded Bitches Brew right around that time. John McLaughlin was doing the Mahavishnu Orchestra. It was a very fresh and opening up period of music, and we were all digging and enjoying that. And so we later got together, but it was outside of New York where I really met a lot of my main contacts. And then when I came to New York, it furthered that.
There's more to the title of that song. It's called Sailing than you would imagine, because Mark Egan was born near the water, is an avid scuba diver, and a lover of being in the ocean and on the ocean. So that's a cut from his album About Now that's most appropriate for his life, Sailing. And his music just sort of glides along, too, and flows along, as he did back in the days of the Pat Metheny Group. And here's a taste of some of that early work that's most appropriate. It's the Pat Metheny composition, Jocko, dedicated to Jocko Pistorius, their mutual friend. The Pat Metheny Group with Mark Egan on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network. a song dedicated to one of the great bassists in jazz in the modern era, Jaco Pastorius, the song simply titled Jaco, written by Pat Metheny, and on the bass, paying homage to his friend and mentor that he met in Miami, Florida, when he was going to college there, as you heard him mention, Mark Egan, with the original Pat Metheny group from the mid-1970s. This is Russ Davis, and we're going to hear some more great bass playing and pay homage to another of the greats of jazz bass who passed away not too long ago but left an incredible and indelible impression on jazz history. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a simple message I received just a few days ago, and it reads as follows. I'm loving this show. Hey, everyone listening, enjoy. I'm from Uganda. My name is Zaylin Turner. Love you, presenter. Thank you, Zaylin, and I thank you very much for spreading the word about the joys of jazz to everyone, all your friends and family members there in Uganda. Let them know that jazz is alive and well, and that we can draw from the past and play from the present as well. We give you the best of jazz, past and present, here on Jazz America, and I'm happy to give you right now one of the greats of jazz history who happened to play the bass. We're focusing on bassists and bass playing on this edition of Jazz America, and on the 30th of April in 1923, the great Percy Heath was born. He died just 2 days before his birthday in 2005, but what a musical legacy did Percy Heath leave. With the Modern Jazz Quartet, as well as with his family band, one of the most famous family bands in all of jazz history, the famous Heath Brothers, that he formed with his brothers Jimmy and Albert Tootie Heath. Here's a cut from the Heath Brothers album, As We Were Saying, from the mid-1990s, that features Percy Heath, and listen to his bass tone on this song that he wrote. It's called Dave's Haze. I think you'll really enjoy it. One of the great bassists in jazz history, Percy Heath, with the Heath Brothers. Just for you, Zaylin Turner from Uganda, listening to VOA's Jazz America. With the help of his then bandmate in the band Return to Forever, Bill Connors on guitar, that's the electric rock jazz shuffle, Lopsy Lou. Composition by Stanley Clark, one of the great innovators of electric bass in jazz. He's also a fantastic acoustic bassist, too, and one of the most versatile players in the modern era of jazz bass, without a doubt, Stanley Clark. Russ Davis here. Hope you're enjoying this edition of VOA's Jazz America as we focus on the bass in jazz and bass playing and great bass players, among them Mark Egan. Once again, let's return to the site of our conversation, Grand Central Station in the center of New York City. I just thought it was an appropriate place to sit and have a chat with Mark Egan and celebrate his new release, About Now. We'll hear from it and about it right now here on VOA's Jazz America.
The thing that stands out, obviously, to me, no guitar player. And we've already mentioned some of the guitar players you've worked with. This is all Mark Egan originals. So you went inside yourself, into the woodshed, playing as you always do, rehearsing, I'm sure, keeping the chops, keeping the fingers loose, dexterity, and writing songs. And then bringing in a trio of old buddies. You just can't beat it when you're working with people that you just automatically resonate to. Mitchell Foreman and the great Danny Gottlieb. So that's my quick overview of this recording. Now let's get some general thoughts and then we'll get specific with some songs.
Sure. First of all, I love the trio format, and I've done some my record As We Speak, which was out in 2007, was with John Abercrombie and Danny Gottlieb. He's another one, another great one. And I love that format, the trio format, in that there's you can make a lot of music and there's more space within that format. And for me on this, I really wanted to, I focused for about a year of writing songs, and I felt that I wanted room for me not to play like a guitar player, but I could be melodic without having to get in the way of a guitar player being melodic at the same time. So I wanted to do this with keyboards, and there could be no perfect choice than Mitch Foreman, who I've known since I first came into town in 1976. He's just a fantastic piano player, a great friend, and for those of you who don't know of Mitch, he's played with John McLaughlin when he revived the Mahavishnu Orchestra. And he's done played with Wayne Shorter, many, many people. Fantastic.
Solo records, too.
And many solo records, yep. And to round out the trio, my good and old friend Danny Gottlieb, who was a schoolmate from the University of Miami. And for those of you who didn't know, we played together with the Pat Metheny group, and we've had the group Elements for so many years. So Danny and I really have a telepathy when we play together. We know each other so well. We know where we're going to go or where we could go, and, you know, at the drop of a whatever, we can switch gears. And it's a great rapport when you can be bass and drums and have that rapport. So that's what I wanted to do, and I wrote around that sound as a trio with those people, so that was a little bit different for me than just writing a song and then figuring out what I was going to do. So I was thinking about this for a long time.
Thank you.
Mark Egan with Mitchell Foreman on keyboards and Danny Gottlieb on bass, and the song Slinky from About Now to the overwhelming big band sound of another great band, this one from Los Angeles, led by another fantastic bass player, John Clayton, and the rest of his family members who were part of the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. Here's the song Jazz Party from the album The L.A. Treasures Project on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network. Bassist John Clayton and his Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra from the album The L.A. Treasures Project Jazz Party. More great bassists, including Mark Egan, next hour on Jazz America.